Let's read together Isaiah chapter 13. In this chapter, we have the Lord's denunciation of Babylon through the prophet Isaiah. The burden against Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand, that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, the Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. It shall be as the hunted gazelle and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people and everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I stir up the Medes against them who will not regard silver. And as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also, their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. But wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 13, with some background notes. Chapters 13 through 23 of Isaiah form a subsection or subdivision of the book of Isaiah in which judgment is pronounced against the foreign nations surrounding Judah. Here in chapter 13, and in a good portion of chapter 14, Isaiah's oracle of judgment is against Babylon. Now, when you read the commentaries on Isaiah chapter 13, you will find that there is a lot of discussion concerning the fulfillment of the details of this prophecy, and not everyone is in agreement. When Isaiah wrote this prophecy of judgment against Babylon, the Assyrian Empire was in power. Now, Assyria attacked Babylon in 689 BC. So was this attack by Assyria what Isaiah was referring to here in Isaiah chapter 13, the judgment against Babylon? Or was Isaiah referring to the conquering of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians in 539 BC, which is the more common interpretation in view of what verse 17 says, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them." This would be the fall of Babylon that took place in Daniel chapter 5, on the very night that Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall to King Belshazzar, the Babylonian ruler. So Daniel chapter 5 may have been the historical fulfillment of this prophecy of judgment against Babylon that we have here in Isaiah chapter 13. However, Besides the historical fulfillment of this prophecy against Babylon, there is an end time aspect to this prophecy of judgment as well. That is against the Babylon of the last days. In other words, this prophecy of judgment against Babylon was only partially fulfilled in history. There is both an historical fulfillment and an eschatological or future fulfillment of this prophecy of judgment against Babylon. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Isaiah chapter 13. Doctrinal point number one, the historical day of the Lord for Babylon was near. The historical day of the Lord for Babylon was near. Verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is near or at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. The day of the Lord in Scripture is any time that the Lord intervenes in the affairs of nations. It could be for blessing or it could be for judgment. That is why both the tribulation period of the future and the millennial kingdom of Christ in the future are referred to and included in the day of the Lord. But besides this future aspect of the day of the Lord, there is an historical aspect to the day of the Lord as well. Isaiah was predicting that the day of the Lord was near and at hand for proud Babylon. She would rise to power and conquer Assyria, but then she herself would be conquered by the Medes and the Persians. The magnificent Ishtar Gate of Babylon would be open to the conquerors. Verse 2, they will enter the gates of the nobles. The invading forces would be set apart by God himself for this work of judgment. The conquering forces of verse 3 were not consecrated or sanctified because they were holy and not pagans, but because they were set apart to be used by God to bring his judgment on Babylon. Cyrus, the Persian emperor, in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 1, is even referred to as God's anointed, not because he was a believer, but because he was used of God to issue an edict that allowed the captive Jews in Babylon to return home to Jerusalem after the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon in 539 BC. We see in verse 9 that when the day of the Lord would come, it would affect both the land and the people because of sin. And we see in verse 16 that, typical of all warfare invasions, then and today, children would be killed, homes would be destroyed, and women would be raped. All of this is the sad fallout of sin. As to this historical aspect of the day of the Lord, the Medes and the Persians would not be bought off with silver and gold, verse 17, but would conquer without mercy, verse 18. And Babylon, that glorious city of the ancient world, with its beautiful hanging gardens, would lie in ruins. The buried ruins of Babylon over the centuries have fulfilled the prophetic predictions of verses 20 through 22. There would be desolate conditions of the once proud city, with desert creatures and wild animals inhabiting the buildings, and Arab people not willing to dwell there. Verse 22 says that these fateful times for Babylon were near. And so it was with the fall of Babylon in history. The historical day of the Lord for Babylon was near. Doctrinal point number two, the eschatological day of the Lord for Babylon is still future. The eschatological day of the Lord for Babylon is still future. Many have pointed out that the prophecies of judgment against Babylon here in Isaiah, as well as the prophecies of judgment against Babylon in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, have never been completely fulfilled in history. For example, at the end of verse 19 here in Isaiah 13, it says that Babylon will be overthrown as Sodom and Gomorrah. That did not take place when the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon in 539 BC. However, we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, that there will be a Babylon in the end times. Whether the Babylon of Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is only symbolic for the one world government and one world religion of those days, or whether it includes the rebuilding of the literal ancient city of Babylon as its capital, we can't say for sure. But in any case, the Babylon of the end times is destroyed with the kind of devastation that characterized the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm reading about the destruction of this end time Babylon in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 8. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. So there is an eschatological day of the Lord for Babylon. Now, the eschatological day of the Lord is seen specifically here in verses 10 through 13 of Isaiah chapter 13. Notice in verse 10 that there will be cosmological disturbances in the heavens, as we have in the book of Revelation, as well as in the Old Testament prophecies of the last days. See Joel chapter 2, for example. And remember, our Lord predicted end-time cosmological disturbances in his Olivet Discourse concerning the last days in Matthew chapter 24. And notice here in verse 11 of Isaiah 13 that the world is being judged and not just Babylon. And verse 12 speaks about mortal man on the face of the earth being scarce and rare. You read about the judgments in the book of Revelation and you will learn that a great percentage of the world population perishes during the tribulation period of the future. And verse 13 of Isaiah 13 is certainly universal in scope concerning the coming judgment of the Lord on this earth. So there is a future aspect of the day of the Lord here in Isaiah chapter 13. The eschatological day of the Lord for Babylon is still future. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 13? Remember the mountain peak illustration. One of the best illustrations of the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies is the mountain peak illustration. As I said, I'm sure I've shared it before. Consider the Old Testament prophet on the plains looking towards some mountains in the distance. That is the future in the illustration. From a distance, all the mountains, including foothills and high peaks, are fused together as one mountain range in the distance. Thus, the Old Testament prophet saw the historical day of the Lord and the eschatological day of the Lord as fused together, sometimes in the same verses. It was all future to them. Only when we travel forward and get into the mountains do we realize that there are foothills, that is, past fulfillments and partial fulfillments of certain prophecies, and then high peaks still to come, that is, still future and ultimate fulfillments of certain prophecies. This is what we've had before us in Isaiah chapter 13 concerning the historical day of the Lord and the eschatological day of the Lord. Remember the mountain peak illustration.